Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Yes, Bob is here. And I have to quibble with the writer of that song, Bob, because he's wrong today. You are here, live in the flesh.
But, you know, I'm only part-time pump.
That doesn't matter today, Bob. We're living in the present. And you are here, and we have a lot of things to talk about. I'm going to say hello to start out to my friend Lynn Florey, who's going in for a knee replacement, and ooh, I wish her all the luck in the world.
Yes, Lynn. They have great doctors. You'll be fine.
Yes, they do.
So, all the best.
All the best, and all the best to the Steelers in Chicago, Bob. And we're going to open with a six-pack, unless there's something else on your mind. Should we check in on the well-being of Mr. P? Limits, how are you?
I would be better if I wasn't referred to as Mr. P.
Yeah, I guess so.
But other than that, I'm doing wonderful.
Good.
What's wrong with Mr. P? I'm Mr. P, too. Is there something wrong with a Mr. P?
No, because your last name is Mr. P.
Now you've insulted Bob, just like Dom.
Me?
I've insulted my own integrity.
There's no purpose for Mr. P.
What are you talking about? So in other words, I don't matter?
There's no purpose for Mr. P. Your name is Austin, and the school is Austin P.
And how are people supposed to make that correlation without you bringing it up?
See, now you're making a bigger deal than what it was, and now it's becoming a bigger story than what it was. It was an innocent reference that I quickly corrected to limits.
Good to see you, Bob.
Austin P and Austin City Limits. That would be perfect if you
like
put them all together.
I do like it. Everything is good here. Bob, everything well with you? You look good. You have a Laurel Valley sweatshirt on, which I appreciate.
Yeah, it's me wishing for golf days, wishing to have freedom to go out in this. Even in this weather, I'd play. I don't care.
It's going to be a while. Unless you and I take a trip to Florida.
No, we could play in this weather.
Can I just say,
play in bad weather? Yes, you do. If it's not raining.
I ain't playing in this. I'm done with that. Can I just say something out loud, Bob, to start, that's bothered me for years? I was watching NFL Network this morning, and for some odd reason, Good Morning Football got interrupted by a Belichick-Parcells special, which was actually very good. The fact that Bill Belichick's defensive game plan from the Super Bowl against the Bills is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard.
I didn't even know that.
The Giants offense kept the ball for 41 minutes. Put the offensive game plan in the Hall of Fame, not Belichick's defensive game plan. The Bills scored 19 points in 19 minutes. They only had the ball. They scored a point a minute. Why is that game plan going against the Kagan offense, granted, but they only had the ball 19 minutes and they scored a point a minute? Why is that game plan in the Hall of Fame? It should be the offensive game plan. The Giants held the ball for 41 out of 60 minutes. And that bothers me, Bob.
Yeah, I guess it should be, because you're right. There is a disproportion with the number of minutes you're talking about here. So I agree with you. That was a better representation of that game.
It sure was. What's your favorite Super Bowl off the top of your head, Bob, all time?
I would have to say 40, just because being there and watching Jerome Bettis the whole week and everything that went on with him and them.
Were you alive and conscious for the first one in 74?
I was alive and conscious, yes.
What do you remember about
Not
that?
Much.
I mean, you talk to any old Steeler or older Steelers fan and say which one of those meant the most. It's always the first one.
Yeah. First one is the first one. And so, therefore, it's totally different, should be held in a different level. And that one was. But then they start winning, you know, 4 and 6, and all of a sudden people get spoiled. They forget how nice it is to get there. They expect it to be there more. And then it goes away for a while. It's not easy to get to one of those and win one. So
apparently it's not easy to win a playoff game either, is it? Brian Kelly, do I hate him, Bob? Don't you?
Yes, I don't like him. I don't know if he's going to get back into this quickly. I expect him to just take the money and run or go to some island somewhere. Although those guys are wired differently. I just don't think he can stay away.
He's been around a while. That Super Bowl, I mean, the Steelers went their entire existence from 1933 up till 72 without a single playoff win. Now, Tomlin is finally threatening that record, Bob, but that was a long time to go without a playoff win.
It was. So, and as a result, everything, you know, there were no expectations. Yeah, just get there, do something, whatever. We'll take anything.
Right.
Sort
then
of
you
like
had
where the
immaculate,
Pirates are right now.
Exactly. You had the immaculate reception, and then 74 was the special one. That's the one, your first one.
Absolutely.
It always is.
Yep. But I'll tell you what, the next one will feel pretty good too, especially for a new generation of people who haven't seen it.
Will we be alive to see it, Bob?
I think so, yes.
Will Mike Tomlin be the guy to win it?
We'll see. I mean, I don't know if it's going to happen. I think they got to find a quarterback first before I answer that yes. I think you need a young, good quarterback who can take you to places.
What do you think of Mason Rudolph's mustache?
I like it. I complimented him the other day when I saw him because I thought it was, you know, he's a good-looking dude, with or without.
What did
he say?
That
gives him more of a rugged look, I think.
Did he give you any story or just say thank you? Did he give you a story behind why he grew it?
No. I didn't ask for one.
Nice kid, isn't he?
He's a great kid.
I mean, not even a kid. He's a grown man.
He's always been that way. He's, you know, aside from the football part of this, if you just talk to him, he's very engaging. He's very, I think he's a guy who just enjoys meeting people. He does. He's not one of those athletes that doesn't want to deal with you. He does take time.
All right. Well, that brings us, Bob, in a very roundabout way to our six-pack in honor of our old friend Ron Cook, who we like to say on Wednesdays is already 10 deep in Fort Myers, so we got some catching up to do here. This is like the Bills being down 35-3 early in the second half. You know who the quarterback was who engineered that comeback, Limits?
Frank Reich.
I was just about to say wrong, but you're Reich. Get it?
You're Reich.
He was. And Bob, at one time, he held the all-time record for greatest college and pro quarter comeback. Did you know that?
Yes. I forget the college one that I were talking about. We talked about it the
other
day.
It was Miami 31, Maryland nothing at the half.
Right.
He came in. Do you know the quarterback he came in for?
No.
Neither do I. But he engineered that comeback. All right, Limits, here we go. There. Thank you. Bob, we begin with quarterbacks. Yes, of course we do. Limits, do you have Ben talking about Aaron Rodgers?
I have Ben talking about Aaron Rodgers combined with what Ben had to say about Mason Rudolph.
That's good enough for me.
This is why you have Mason. This is what you want. You want a guy that's been here before, that's been around this system, that's been around the NFL. You feel comfortable. You don't have to, when you have a guy like that, I had it with Byron and Charlie and Bruce and Dobbs, and you don't have to change the playbook. It's not like all of a sudden he comes in, it's like, boy, let's cut half the playbook out. Like, no, you can run things. And one of the things that people, I don't know, they won't forget about, but I didn't think about it initially was the one good thing about Aaron not being here till the last minute is that Mason got all the reps during OTAs, mini camps, a lot during training camp. So these guys know him. The O-line knows his cadence. The receivers, like, you know, you talk to them after after the game, a lot of the receivers, like, we're comfortable. Well, they should be comfortable. Like, they caught a lot of passes from him. And so I think that's what's great about having him in there.
There you go, Ben on his old buddy Mason Rudolph. And you want to throw that in the hopper with Dan Orlovsky saying, I'd sit him about Rodgers. They should try to rest him. He didn't say that out of, like, because he's not playing well. He said you try to rest him, you start Rudolph, and then you have Jerry Dulac telling Rich Eisen that his feel is that Rodgers will sit, although he wasn't hardcore about it. You know, he feels like the risk of re-injury or aggravating the injury will cause the Steelers to be a little conservative here. So a lot of sentiment that he will sit and that he should sit. I disagree that he will sit. I think he's going to play. I think he wants to play. He wanted to play the second half the other day. Your thoughts on this?
I think if it's ultimately up to him and they get a decent, you know, confirmation from the medical staff, and they do have some outstanding doctors with the Steelers, I think then he will, because he wants to be there for it. So as long as there is, you know, there's always a risk of doing some damage to that left hand. But if it's a minimal risk and he can operate and function and do what he has to do, then I think absolutely he will play. But we won't know that until Friday when he actually gets out there and does something. And when he does, you'll have a better understanding over the weekend. But I get, for now, I'm betting he will play.
So am I, and I think it will be up to him, right?
As long as he gets, you know, as long as they say, hey, to Mike Tomlin, we're pretty good with his situation. We have it braced well. He's not going to be encumbered by this at all. And quarterbacks have gone through this. Josh Allen went through this and didn't miss a beat. There are a lot of guys. Now, he's older.
Terry Bradshaw played with a giant cast on his wrist. I have no doubt that Rodgers wants to play. It's the Bears. It's his last time around. He has a break in his left wrist. Not pleasant, but this is a tough man. He's played through a lot, including 590 sacks in his career. Bob, for God's sakes, he came back to practice after an Achilles tear. I tore my Achilles. I thought I might never walk again. This dude was back at practice in like 60 days or some ridiculous thing. So I'm convinced he's going to play. All this stuff is sort of adding up on the other side of that. But I think here's the key. I think he's the one that's going to make the call.
Yeah, ultimately it's down to him. And if he feels like he can and if they're comfortable with that. But they also know they have a guy who's functional, very functional in operating this offense. A separate question is just how he's been playing, injury or not. You know, that's
not great.
No, and that's another, you know, potential reason why they may, given his injury and keeping him upright for the next two games, which I think are very important because they're AFC teams. Now, this is an NFC team, so that may come into this whole thing. You have Buffalo, you have Baltimore. Those are more important games based on the conference they reside.
True, but not by much. I mean, Baltimore's obviously the hugest game. I mean, you got to win games.
Yeah,
and if you lose this one, you put yourself in a more difficult position. That reminds me of something. Thank you, Limits. That's just what I was calling for. I think people have gone a little bit overboard here on Mason Rudolph. And I said yesterday, if Rodgers is compromised, I would play Rudolph. And I think that the way Rodgers has been playing, it's getting to the point where, or could get to the point fast, where even if Rodgers is relatively healthy, Rudolph might be the better option. That doesn't mean I think he's a great option. My God, the PM guy's pony yesterday made Mason Rudolph sound like Dan Marino. Pony trotted out his passer rating for his last four games, conveniently ignoring that he also played the Bills in a playoff game and it didn't go particularly well, especially the end zone interception. But I'm sorry, he has played well in those four games. He has. This last one was against maybe the worst defense in pro football history, maybe the worst defense of the Super Bowl era. The Bengals of 3 years ago, or whenever that run was, who were pretty darn bad themselves, a horse crap Seattle defense, and the Ravens JV team, okay? So I'm sorry, but that has to be taken into effect. I've become a Rudolph fan. I am, but let's not get crazy with numbers like those passer ratings, 120+. If that were, you know, extrapolated over a full season, he'd have the best passer rating in the league. Come on. He's playing. You have to look at the competition. And if you're going to include his past four appearances, include the fifth, which was a playoff game in Buffalo. He's a very good backup quarterback.
Yeah, and I think that's fine. You got to have a very good backup quarterback because through the course of 17 games, you're going to need him at some point. We're seeing that potentially now. But I think this time around, using those three games and that playoff experience, those experiences have helped him be who he is right now, which is a much better and more confident quarterback.
Are you with Hokie, who said he could be a next Sam Darnold if he got a chance to play? I'm not.
I don't like to rule anything out, but I wouldn't go that far. But I think he could certainly run a a franchise offense. I do. I don't know to what level, but I think he can. I think he could be somebody. I'm not going to say Sam Darnold, what we saw last year, 14-3. That's asking an awful lot. But I think he could be very functional in this offense. He knows it. He's confident with him. He's not afraid. The best
functional quality, is a good word.
But the best quality for me on him is that he stays in the pocket, and he stays there, and he stays there to make throws.
That's
he is
his
willing
best,
to
that's
do
his
it.
Best and worst quality, yes.
Yeah, but I think that's a good quality when you're trying to unleash a wide receiving
it
game
is.
That hasn't been very good
and
for
a, and a bad quality when you're facing a heavy pass rush with that offensive
sure.
line in front of you.
Would so you rather have that or him spin away and do something stupid on the fly?
No, I hear you. But that to me, that's his best and worst quality is he's basically a statue in the pocket.
But he can run. He doesn't run like Lamar Jackson. Nobody does, but he can move.
A little bit.
One of his throws on a third down the other day was rolling right, putting it right on the money. So a
little bit, yeah. Now that I look at Sam Darnold's numbers for this year, maybe Mason Rudolph could be this version of Sam Darnold. In fact, he could. 17 touchdowns and 10 picks coming off a horrible game.
There's 4 picks in the last game. It wasn't that bad until the last game.
Well, but he's been picked off in each of the last 4. So he's starting to throw the ball to the other team a lot, which is what he did at the end of last year. So maybe that was the wrong comparison to shoot down for me. I like Mason. I think they could beat the Bears with him. I think they brought in Rodgers for a reason. I think it was his elite arm talent. He's the guy who, if he can play like he did in a couple games this season, gives you the best shot to go somewhere this season. But I'm highly concerned. In fact, Limits, pour me another one, would you please? Thank you. I'm highly concerned about the skittishness I've seen from him. I think sometimes, whether it's a boxer or a quarterback, and we saw it with Ben, two of the toughest guys you'll ever meet at the quarterback position. It reaches a point where you just don't want to get hit anymore. You're just not willing to stand in there and take a beating. That was, I think, a large reason why Ben got rid of the ball in a split second in his last couple of years. Well, that and Kendrick Green playing in front of him, but that's part of it. I don't want to take a hit like I used to. And I think Rodgers has reached that point, and that's not a good point to reach.
No, I agree. When you look at his footwork over the last several games, you can see that he gets antsy in there. And that's something that he didn't used to do and totally understandable, you know, given the fact that and I keep going back to that one picture that surfaced where he was being hit and about to be sacked. And the way he looked, I mean, his facial expression kind of told the story like, oh, my God, I don't want to be hit. He's still a tough dude. I do. You know, he's playing. He wants to play. I thought he was very good in the first part of this season. Can he regain that? You know, if healthy, we hope so, because that's the thing you brought him here for these kinds of games to take on the Ravens and the Bills.
Thank you. Next. All right, Bob. Jordy Nelson, of all people, Aaron Rodgers' old buddy, upheld the suspension on Ja'Marr Chase. I thought, if anything, it could have been a bigger suspension. His argument to withdraw the suspension was ridiculous. It essentially boiled down to if I'd really wanted to spit on him, I would have spit directly in his eyes or something like that. It was just ridiculous. And so Jordy Nelson kept the hammer dropped on him. And we had Mike Tomlin yesterday changing his mind. Now, after the game, and Tomlin said yesterday that he knew Jalen had been spit on. He talked to Jalen during the game. But after the game, Tomlin went to the podium and said something like, no excuse, you can't act like that. I'm paraphrasing. But suddenly yesterday, when Tomlin was asked about it, he changed his tune.
Were you aware at the time that Jalen Ramsey said that Chase spit on him? And what's your thoughts on how the NFL handled that yesterday?
You know, I was aware. I certainly talked to Jalen in game. It's an unfortunate incident. It's not an act that's common to the game of football. It's nothing to do with football. And so I'm not going to comment on it. The NFL office rendered their judgment, and so we're moving on.
But Bob, a few moments later, he did.
Mike Ramsey plays with an edge. He has his whole career. When something like that happens on Sunday, because the play before, they had to be separated. Was your message to him to try to simply remove himself from that stuff? And how do you, as a competitor, how do you sort of keep him from sort of, you know?
I have no message if someone spits in your face. Do what comes natural.
Bob, the natural follow-up then would have been, why didn't you say that Sunday? Like, what has changed your mind? Why didn't he say the same thing Sunday?
I don't know, because I thought Sunday was a good answer to give, and that is, we can't respond to any of it. You can't, because you're going to be in a situation where it cost your team a penalty. And in this case, it cost him
Could it be that the question came from the graves digger? He just didn't want that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Will Graves? He didn't want Will Graves putting words in his mouth?
Yeah, I think he was getting annoyed at that point, you know? So yeah. I don't know how the answer changed. But I think what you heard on Sunday was what most coaches will tell you. Yeah, it's not a good thing, but you can't respond to it. If you do, you're going to put us in harm's way.
Next. Why, thank you, Limits. Bob, we have now Will Howard entering the fray, which this is happening quickly. My God, if it keeps going at this pace, he's going to start against the Ravens. And yesterday, he caught a little bit of a stray from Mike Tomlin when they were talking about getting ready for Caleb Williams.
What I've seen from Caleb Williams, certainly I had studied him a lot, being a young guy in this league and an NFC guy, but just really impressed with his physical talents, his ability to throw the football, his accuracy, his arm strength, his ability to extend, his ability to see the full field while doing so, minimizing negativity, the creativity associated with his escapability and play extension is really challenging. It's not only challenging in stadium, but to be quite honest with you, it's challenging to duplicate in the process of prep. I doubt Will Howard is going to give us a quality look at some of that stuff I've been looking at on tape, for example.
He's the latest one to take a stray from Tomlin. It was Anthony Richardson a few weeks back, Bob. What happened here?
I don't know. That made me laugh when I heard it too.
Me too.
But, you know, I think down deep, I think the Steelers, specifically Mike Tomlin, really like Will Howard, really do. And, you know, want to get him involved more to see what they have in him. And I think by this time, you know, next year or this time, before the season begins in the offseason, they're going to give, even if they draft someone, and I believe they will, they're going to give him his fair share of this and see where it takes them.
By the way, I agree with you. Back to Rodgers for a second. Dominique Foxworth just said something appropriate, I think, and correct. He said there's no senior tour in the NFL if Aaron Rodgers has to play with a crack in his wrist in Chicago and perhaps his last shot in that city. He's going to play. He's going to play, I think, unless somebody from the Steelers steps in and says absolutely not, and that doesn't strike me as Tomlin's style with star players.
No, I think, which is why he said what he said about Darius Slay. I think he wants those star players out there regardless of how they're playing, and they're going to keep going back to him. So if he's functional, he will play. I don't think there's any question about that. Wouldn't it be funny to have a senior tour on NFL players? That would be interesting to see who's a quarterback, who's a running back, all the guys. A senior tour of the NFL.
That would be great. I miss those old-timers games, Bob. I don't know if they had them in the NFL, did they?
No,
They had them in baseball, though, remember?
Baseball, for sure, yeah.
Steve Blass made a hell of a catch in an old-timers game in the outfield. What an athlete he was.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Right?
Well, all those guys, I mean, to be in that position, you have to be a good athlete. But then later in life, you know, I've watched a couple of old-timer games where I thought, man, those guys are still competitive. They want to do it. Now they can't run, but they're very competitive.
It's just fun to see them. You know, and it's also fun to see them be humanized in their later years, kind of like the rest of us. There's something very...
When they're falling apart, can't walk.
You know? No, really. There's something, I don't know what it is, sentimental, emotional about seeing, you know, Willie Mays in an old-timers game way back when. Right? I mean, it's just like, they're just like us in the end.
In golf, it's been tremendously successful and very, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Friendly to those players. They still get people coming out to watch them. They don't, you know, just because they don't play well anymore, but they still play well enough where they can beat
well
most
enough.
People.
Yeah.
So people are still interested in their games, but they also just know when you see a guy like Ernie Els, you can take it back to Oakmont when he won here. When you see guys who have had success, you know who they are, how they played. Freddie Couples still very popular. So
that sport
that
lends
served
itself.
Them well. Yes.
Yeah, that lends itself to a senior tour. I also think if you brought a camera to some Penguins old-timer scrimmages where you can you imagine? Here's one for you. Jack Lambert used to play hockey. Maybe he still does. I don't know. But he used to go over there when they'd have their pickup games. I think likes of Borky, the old 2-9er, and people like that would play. And I'm sure he still does. If you brought a camera to one of those scrimmages where Jack Lambert and Mario were playing just pickup hockey, I think the viewership would be off the charts, don't you?
Yes. They'd want to see that. And if things get a little edgy... You know, still the competitive juices are
flowing
in those
guys. Put Kasparaitis out there and they would be.
Kasparaitis and Jack Lambert in a corner. Kasparaitis rides Lambert into the boards. The reaction is, pull my teeth out. Come on and mess with me.
That is must-see TV. Next. Bob, have we already guzzled the six-pack here?
I'm kind of dizzy right now, actually.
Well, you mentioned Darius Slay, and I thought that was a very apt analogy you made, and I credit you for that. I don't credit Tomlin, however, for his desire to go back to Slay. What are we doing here? You James Pierre has been a manna from heaven. He's just dropped into the scene and played really well at a position where people like Darius Slay weren't playing really well. Why would you go back to him? Here's my
Mike, if Slay is healthy, does he step back in as a starter, or will you stick with Pierre?
Yeah, he steps back in and plays. Certainly, we're certainly going to continue to play James. He's deserving of that, but if healthy, Slay's going to play.
He didn't say start, which
well,
is interesting.
He was asked, is he going to start? And he said yes.
Yeah. He said, yeah, he's going to play.
No, he said yes to starting. Let's hear that again.
I hear it, but he didn't say start himself. But
Mike, if Slay is healthy, does he step back in as a starter, or will you stick with Pierre?
Yeah, he steps back in.
Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if you see more snaps to Pierre than Slay this week, even if he plays and starts.
So you think it might be more a ceremonial or respect thing
him? I think, based on that. I mean, it depends on how he plays, too. If he plays well, then he'll get more snaps. If
you
he
might
doesn't,
be right about that, Bob. You're making incredible points today.
No,
and I'm conceding
really.
Them to you.
I appreciate that. But I sometimes you have to listen how it's said, I think, and understand what he's trying, the message he's trying to get. I think he has a lot of respect for all these guys he brought in, you know, and that's why they're here. Because of their resumes. He respects the resumes. But he's also going to know that if it's not playing that well, he's going to make changes. And Pierre gives him that opportunity, which is a nice problem to have.
Next. All right, Bob, back to the Will Howard situation and the fact that he can't mimic what Caleb Williams does, according to Tomlin. That apparently has led to the Steelers bringing in a couple of quarterbacks, and their names are Jason Bean and Tanner Mordecai. Those are two fabulous names, Bob, the Magic Bean and the Mordecai.
The Mordecai, yeah.
And if you can tell me, either one of you, where Bean played college football, there might be something nice in your mailbox this week. Limits?
Arkansas Pine Bluff.
Wrong. Bob?
Arkansas with no bluff.
Wrong. He was undrafted out of Kansas in 24. If you can give me one of the three schools that our friend Mordecai went to, which name do you like better, Bob? Jason Bean or Mordecai?
I like Mordecai.
So do I.
Mordecai has some of it's almost like he's one of these unsuccessful prosecutors. Mordecai's coming into the room, watch out.
Yeah, that could be a name for a show like L.A. Law, and he's the lawyer, only he's a bad one. Yeah. Mordecai.
Oh, Mordecai's coming. Yeah. Watch out. He's serious. I like Mordecai.
Give me one of the three colleges he played for. Limits? Wrong.
UCLA.
Bob?
USC.
Wrong. Oklahoma. SMU.
And Wisconsin.
He was on San Francisco's practice squad last year. So they're looking to get a look on Caleb Williams. Bob, do you fear this guy? What do you think of Caleb Williams
so
far? I don't
fear him. I don't think he was. I think he's a very good quarterback in that he is a mobile guy who can take you and spin away from traffic. I ultimately think that's going to be the biggest concern for the Steelers defense. How he escapes TJ Watt, how he escapes Highfield or Highfield, Alex Highsmith or Nick Herbig when they come in there off the edge. Because he can do that. He spins away. He's one of the better guys at that. He also has almost 300 yards rushing and touchdown runs this year. So he gives them a dimension that I think Ben Johnson really likes. And it's one of those things that he can turn something that you think is diagnosed into a big play. He did it last week. He's done it throughout the course of the year. So from that point of view, I think he's dangerous.
Yeah, in his last three games, he has four touchdowns. And here's the key, zero interceptions.
He's only thrown four, I think, all year. They've protected the ball.
Yeah, only 13 touchdowns, but he's also run in these last three games for like 150 yards and a touchdown. He, you know who I compare him to right now is Bo Nix. He's got a really good offensive coach who has sort of, you know, put the reins on in a way to where he's playing smart football. He's not a gunslinger by any means because the coach won't have it in either case, but they're both playing winning football in terms of late in games. They're getting the job done, both of those guys. I think they're very similar.
And they did one thing that the Cincinnati Bengals have not yet done well, and that is they went out and really reinvested in their offensive line after last season watching Caleb Williams run all over the place because he got no protection. That part of their game has improved. Ben Johnson's also taken a page out of his own playbook in Detroit where he had Gibbs and Montgomery. They have two really good backs in Chicago, and they used both of them. This Manungai kid out of Rutgers.
Is he related to Mordecai?
Mordecai Manungai. That's probably a law firm. Hi, Mordecai Manungai here. We get it done for you. Check us out at MordecaiManungai.com.
What if they played a pickup game against Shenderovich and Fishman, Bob?
I wouldn't like their chances in golf. No, the Shendi boys can hit it.
They sure can.
They can.
I don't know. Give me one more before we move on to a very brief intermission. Limits off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. You can communicate with our dear friend City Limits, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I got to see more from the Bears before I think they're a good team. I'm just going to say that out loud. I credit them and Ben Johnson because they're finding ways to win games that the Bears typically lost in horrific, mind-boggling fashion. They're now winning those kinds of games, but they're winning them, you know, against Vegas, Washington, Cincinnati, the Giants, New Orleans. Have they beaten a team with a winning record yet? I don't think so.
They beat Minnesota. It's not a winning record, but they did it in Minnesota last week. So
the answer would be no. They haven't beaten a team with a winning record, at least a winning record as we sit here today. They got beat by Detroit 52-21. They got beat by Baltimore 30-16. Come on. We need to see more, Bob. It's nice they're off to a 7-3 start. We got to see more from the Bears before I think they're good. And I'm not sure the Steelers are good either, by the way. So maybe this is an epic matchup.
They are 7-3, and they get it done that way. And the other thing they do well is they take the ball away defensively. They are number one.
It's the
one.
Takeaway bowl.
That's
yeah.
Both of these teams look at each other and see the same team. It is. Who makes the most or the fewest will be the story in this game.
Bob, am I glad you told me that? Because I had a stat for you that I've now lost. The last three times I think that the Bears, here it is. I do have this. And I'm quite proud of myself, Limits, for clipping this morning. You ready for this?
Please.
Bears teams with a turnover differential. This was from Watch Marquee, Marquee Sports Network. Bears teams with a turnover differential of plus 14 through their first 10 games. You said they're plus 22? Something like that?
Yeah, I think they're. It could be in that range. They're number one in the NFL.
Maybe they have 22 takeaways.
22 takeaways. Okay. So I think they're plus 15 or something of that
they're
nature.
They're plus 14, yeah, through their first 10 games, okay? Mm-hmm. These are the Bears teams in history that have done that. 1963 won the NFL championship. I was there. 1985, you might remember the 85 Bears. Yes, Bob?
Absolutely. Super Bowl shuffle.
1990, they lost in the divisional round but made the playoffs. And 2025. So maybe you're right. Maybe there's more than meets the eye. There's other things happening, including three NFL teams that nobody expected to be out of the playoffs this late. In fact, they may have been the three teams, three of five anyway, with the best odds to get to the Super Bowl. Let's talk about that as part of our show opening 12-pack. The Steelers' new over-under for wins and an incredible, mind-bending story from Jeff Passan of ESPN on the Pirates' alleged plans this offseason. It's 10:35, time to check out the Christmas gift store at Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek. And is it Creek or Creek, Bob?
I always go Creek.
Always? Even Turtle Creek? It's not
Turtle Creek? No, yeah. What about you?
Limits, are you a Creek or Creek guy?
I say Turtle Creek, but if I like see a Creek, I call it the Creek.
Do you?
Yeah.
No, it's still a Creek.
It's still Creek?
Yeah, to me, it's always Creek.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin, but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Bob, I was compelled to write about this today as we continue what is rapidly turning into a Stroh's 15-pack, and boy, was I happy back in Buffalo when somebody invented that. Remember that, Bob? The old fire-brewed Stroh's?
Yeah, but I never got the 15. Never.
No?
No.
Well, we will today, so this is special to be going there with you today. This one, listen, I laugh this off in 5 seconds if it's not for the guy who wrote it. It's Jeff Passan, who I think is a great reporter. I think he's the best insider in Major League Baseball with Ken Rosenthal. He's great on television. I think he's a reporter of high integrity. I don't think he attaches his name to this if he doesn't believe it to be true. He writes that the Pirates were in on Josh Naylor, that they were willing to offer him upwards of $80 million. He wound up signing for 92.5 over 5 years with Seattle. He says they're in on Kyle Schwarber and a tantalizing Japanese slugger who's coming over named Murakami, 25-year-old lefty with, quote, top of the scale raw power and as high a ceiling as any free agent, domestic or international. He says
he's the guy who beat Sadahara O's record. Is that right?
I don't know that.
I think so.
Well,
or at least challenged it. He has that sort of power and that
in this
resume.
Ballpark. So
does Scott Schwarber.
Right.
I mean,
so he says the Pirates are legitimately in on them. Jeff Passan, the same guy who at every opportunity has shredded the Pirates and Bob Nutting. At every opportunity, there was a headline on Awful Announcing that said, "Quote: Jeff Passan is on a mission to show MLB fans why the Pittsburgh Pirates are a problem." He was on the McAfee show saying, "How do you continue to exist as an owner who theoretically wants to win a championship and do so pinching pennies?" This guy is the far opposite of like a bootlicker, and he's the farther opposite of somebody who would attach his name to something he doesn't believe. He's too good. There's nothing to gain for him. So why is this happening, Bob? And is it a case of the Pirates are going to win the just missed on that guy Olympics this offseason where they, quote, just miss on anybody, on everybody? Or does this have your eyes opened here? Does this have your ears perked? What do you make of it?
Well, first of all, I won't believe anything until I see it, regardless, because I think this has been the case over so many years we have talked about this and their abhorrence to spending tons of money on free agent guys. They do it by, you know, piecing together six or seven guys at total of $30 million. You're never going to win like that, in my view. So, should they be in? Yes. I think Jeff Passan went beyond the Pirates just leaking information. I think he knows
absolutely
from agents who he deals with that they actually make legitimate offers, and they were trying to do it. So, if the agents say, yeah, the Pirates had an offer of $82 million, we wanted more, at least that tells you they're willing to do it. But my next question for the Pirates would be, then get yourself into a bidding war. If you really want a guy, move up. Don't
right.
You know, if that's your limit and there are other teams involved, then you're going to have to go better than that because most people wouldn't want to come here given the history. But a lot of players, you know, if they're home run hitters especially, PNC Park right field is a very tantalizing target if you're Kyle Schwarber. So I would just up the offer if that's the case. But I agree with you in that Jeff Passan doesn't need – to go on there and try to massage the ego of the Pirates, Ben Cherington, or Bob Nutting.
He's already done the exact
ripped it, right? So for me, this goes beyond the Pirates saying anything. It's the agents of the players who may be telling him.
I definitely agree with you there. There's no way because Ben Cherington would say, oh, we're going to be in on these guys, or maybe Bob Nutting would tell him that there's zero chance passing runs with that. So I do believe that he's talking to agents who are saying, yeah, the Pirates checked in, but here's the thing. The Pirates probably know what a guy like Naylor, for example, is going to go for, right? And maybe they did get, an idea of what the bidding would be. So who's to say they know he's going for 90 or more and they don't clock in at 82, right? Oh, The Pirates called. They offered 82. Well, did they offer 82 knowing it wasn't going to happen, but that it was going to get out there, that the Pirates made a big offer? And like I said, with Schwarber and this other dude and others, are they going to win the just-missed Olympics this offseason? Do they have that part nailed where it's going to get out there that they made a big offer but wasn't an offer they knew would lose? Do you know
right,
what I mean?
Right, and I'd like to find the follow-up to that. If Passan's on this story, then he should then go back to that agent and said, well, did they move once they found out that Naylor was up to $90 million? Did they have a response to that, or were they stuck at 82 and not moving? Because that, to me, says exactly what they've been doing over the years, and that is supposedly being involved in somebody but then never completing the deal. At some point, you have to complete the deal.
You got to complete
the
deal.
And the only reason why, to me, it's so important now is because of Paul Skenes. He was on Dan Patrick's show yesterday, and he made it pretty clear that it's tough for him to lose everywhere he's been. He has won, and so this is a different phenomenon, but he goes to bed thinking of what might be, what could be. So he's put it out there that he needs help, that they need help.
Limits, did you monitor the Paul Skenes appearance on Dan Patrick? You should have. You're the beat writer.
Yes.
Yes, he says. Maybe later in the show. I didn't know about it either.
He addressed the elephant in the room with Dan Patrick.
Yes, that's why I thought it was interesting. Yeah. He's putting it out there that, hey, this organization needs to do. He's doing it in a very professional way, but he's making it known that they have to do something.
Exactly.
And so hopefully they do. And normally I would just cast this aside and say, well, it's just the same old thing. But now maybe, given the fact they have a very short window, the window was wider a couple of years ago, now it's closing, they need to do something to try to get something out of this next two-year run.
Okay, that brings us to the next one. Oh, Limits, thank you. Some teams are already actually doing things. And there's a big difference between actually doing things and making a, quote, big offer for a guy that you don't get. The Baltimore Orioles traded Grayson Rodriguez, who was a very promising prospect, who then had some decent success in the majors, looked like he was headed for more, and got hurt. Now he's coming back. He's 26. They traded him to Anaheim yesterday for Taylor Ward, a home run slugging outfielder who only has this year on his contract. Well, the Pirates are living in that world too. And Ward has hit 61 home runs the past two seasons. Did the Pirates just miss on him too, Bob?
I don't know. I need to see that kind of bat in this lineup, at least one of them. I think they need more than one, but I think it makes everybody else in the lineup better.
Very interesting that a team got it done, because maybe it's not the free agent route as much as it's Mitch Keller and or some of their prized prospect pitchers that they parlay into hitters. We're going to get deep into that topic at noon.
Would you understand this if I said this to you and think it's okay? Everyone seems to think that they'll spend money only after they trade Mitch Keller and get rid of his contract of $17 million. Yeah. I, on the other hand, think Mitch Keller could be a very important piece to this rotation as not a first or second, but he fits in as a fourth or fifth and a guy who can give you innings. I would rather, if that's the case, because I don't want to see them subtract $30 million in getting rid of contracts and then adding $29 and then $39 million, and it comes out to the same.
I mean, I wouldn't mind that if they brought a hitter back for Keller and spent money.
But I also would think it would be probably best for them to keep him in place because of pitching, and then on their own go out and spend money and add to a payroll, which is still way below where it should be.
Limits? Crack, please. Thank you. Listen to the Pomp and Joe show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. And Bob, it's a high of Mel Blunt today, 47. A low of 37, Jared Jones. And wouldn't it be nice to see him fresh out of spring training or soon after? Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Okay, I'm going to ask you guys, without explanation, give me a yes or a no. Bob, you first, Sadie Limit second, and me third. Will the Pirates payroll crack $100 million this year?
No.
Can I ask a clarification?
No.
Start of the year or end of the year?
No, come on, Limits. Are they going to start out with $100 million?
Start out. Okay. No.
Yes.
You're believing all this. That's good.
I didn't say I was believing all that. All they have to do is raise it by $11 million to get to $100 million, right?
Well, not if they trade. They can do it by trading Keller.
Sure they can.
And not spending to the level you're in. I hope they go to $130 million. I've been clear about that. There's no reason
if
not
they're,
to.
If they bring back Kyle Schwarber or the guy from Japan, it would be like Mardi Gras around here.
Oh, people would love it. Do you imagine the response finally to somebody like that who hit 56 home runs?
I don't believe that's going to happen, but I do believe.
I don't know why he's asking for $30 million. I'd ask for $40 million and then let it come back down to me a little bit.
Both those guys are going to get in excess of $150 million. There's more to that pass-in story, too, regarding Connor Griffin and others. We'll get to that at noon. But Bob, James Franklin's introductory news conference at Virginia Tech. What did you make of this hire?
I love the hire. If I'm Virginia Tech, why wouldn't you take that hire? They have been not a very good football team. They have a rabid fan base down there. Those people are really hungry to win.
Yeah.
It wouldn't take much to compete in the ACC just because the ACC is not a very good conference right now when compared to the other Power 5 conferences. Or four conferences. So I think he's in a great situation. I think he can actually be one of those guys who comes in and with his recruiting base, especially in Virginia, where he recruits very well,
yeah.
You could see a scenario where next year he could win the ACC. Clemson's down. Florida State's down. They have a chance to move right in there and rewrite their expectations because right now they're pretty low. So it's great for them. I think personally he's using this as a stepping stone to a bigger program, and he will in 5 years be somewhere else.
Very interesting, Bob. You're in Fuego today. You're seeing the keys this morning.
No, I'm just, I think
that's great stuff.
I think he's going to bring tremendous success, don't you? I mean, if that was the SEC he's competing in, good luck.
Well,
he's found it tough in the Big Ten, given what you have to face every year. This is a different conference.
Here's what I think is that it was a great move by him and them. I do. I don't know what it's going to lead to, but I would bet it would lead to success because he went to a place where you can win. He was stuck in the Big Ten where he couldn't win.
Right.
And now, he doesn't. Yes.
Is there a pathway to a championship appearance, playoff appearance?
Yes. Yeah. Virginia and Georgia Tech lead the ACC right now. Virginia and Georgia Tech.
And that's
Tech.
Another thing. Did you see the rankings that came out yesterday? College
yes.
football rankings. There are three teams, none of them in the top 12. And for even a conference champ, you better be in the top 12 ranking at the end of the year. Right now, Miami is 13, I think. Georgia Tech is 16, and Virginia is 19.
Yes, it's a path toward winning. He went to a place where he can actually win a conference, which would be very new for him, and that's A. And B, he didn't go down to the SEC or unfamiliar territory. He's in a place where he has recruited and won, you know? So I think it's smart on both ends. Limits, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm conflicted about it because I think you guys are right at the point of he recruits that area very well. We know just the good relationships that Franklin is able to create with his players, so he's probably going to take some of the Penn State guys that were already there.
Mm. He'll also steal guys from other places, he's recruited before. I guarantee you can do that.
I would caution Virginia Tech people from big games and what that might be like, but they're not as big of games in the ACC.
Yeah, his big games won't be in Columbus.
So he's in a good spot for him.
Yeah. And them.
And they definitely made this a good hire. And that's probably why I'm conflicted, because I have my thoughts on Franklin, but I think he's going to do decently well there.
Well, what do you mean you're conflicted about what?
Well, obviously, like, I think it was the right decision for Penn State to be able to move on from him.
So if he wins, that'll make Penn State people. Why?
No, I don't think it'll make everybody regret it.
Well, why would it make anybody regret it? Just because he wins the ACC doesn't mean he was ever going to win in Columbus.
Bob, do you ever, when you see your ex-girlfriend off, wish her well and actually want to see her do very well?
Which ex-girlfriend and how long are we talking?
It was an ugly ending with James Franklin and Penn State.
Yeah,
a lot of people do not want to wish him well. I'm not in that camp, but
no,
well,
that's
a very conflicted
fan base. To me,
that's sad, Bob. That would be sad because James Franklin was a good representative of the university, and he won. He did. He couldn't win the biggest games. He simply couldn't.
But a lot of guys can't win the big games in a lot of conferences, but they take a program and make it step by step into one of the best in the country. And you have to admit, last year they got to the national semifinals. That's pretty good. And people get greedy. Okay, now it's either you make it or you're done. Okay, the next Penn State
guy. Are you saying they shouldn't have fired him?
No, I'm saying that they don't appreciate what they had. There's a way to say goodbye and respectfully. I saw a lot of people just, good riddance, he can't. Okay, fine. If that's how you want to feel, you forget what has happened over the last decade there. He gradually put him up. Could they win the big game in the Big Ten? No. But how many coaches are in that boat? You know, if you, you can also make a decision that backfires, and then all of a sudden things start changing and going the other direction. You can't find the right guy.
Yeah, know? Sometimes it's just time. He did pretty good work there, and I would wish him well, and I hope he succeeds at Virginia Tech. And I also feel like it had become pretty, pretty blanking obvious that he was never going to get over the hump. I'm sorry, he wasn't in the Big Ten or winning a national championship. I mean, the numbers are just mind-blowing when you look at his numbers against top teams, against Ohio terrible. State and Michigan. Yeah. Like, suddenly it was going to change? I don't think so.
But that does not mean he didn't do a good job over that time. And it does not mean that people can't give him warm regards. Move on. That's fine. You did your time here. We appreciate it. Now we need to go on. The next guy coming in, whoever that may be, I wonder, you know this better than anyone, Austin, because you go to these games and follow them. What will the reaction be, no matter who it is, in terms of year one? What is the expectation in year one versus 2 years from now?
Well, I think the expectation, obviously, is to win, compete, and get back to the playoff. It's not go to the Big Ten Championship, win the Big Ten Championship. But if you get back to the playoff in year one, I think that should be a successful season. Because when you look at their schedule right now,
Why isn't it win a national championship right away? I thought that was the goal at Penn
State. That would be my question. It's like you're bringing in whoever it is. It better be quicker
results.
You're
not bringing in somebody to rebuild Penn State's football program. You're bringing in somebody who immediately should be competing for a national championship. I thought that's why you got rid of the last guy.
So you think that going to the playoffs for a guy that's in his first year at the program with all the roster turnover and potentially winning a playoff game or two
deliver
is better than a guy
limits.
In a 12th season that is
deliver the baby
statistically
right away.
Known for losing all of these big games?
No, there is a little honeymoon period. I will grant you that. There should be. I mean, you can't
couple
expect
weeks, some, maybe.
But I
tell
also,
me about their schedule.
Yeah, so their schedule next year is very easy. There's no Indiana.
No Ohio
State. There's no Ohio State
no
on that
Ohio
schedule.
State, right? That's what I thought I saw.
Michigan is the hardest game, and obviously the non-conference schedule is bad.
This like honeymoon will be shorter than a Kardashian marriage, Bob. It'll last about 3 weeks.
They have USC, but that game's at home.
That's a good one.
Their toughest road game is probably at Wisconsin, or at Michigan, but also at Washington. So they should be able to go 10-2 at least, depending, no matter who is the coach.
My thoughts exactly. And the new guy better bring in or have a star quarterback or he's not worth bringing in, right?
If it's the Missouri guy who, if I had to bet on anybody right now, and this is not an inside knowledge thing, I would say it's probably him. That's what the betting markets are saying. He's going to probably bring Bo Prabula back, Bob. Bo Prabula will be back as the Penn State quarterback.
Well, again, I just want to see the reaction when they don't get to a playoff in the first year, because I think more realistically, if I had to bet, no matter who it is, it's going to be hard for them to get back to a playoff in year one. Then I want to see what reaction is at that point.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.